Please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John. Last year at this time, we spent a considerable amount of time teaching on the birth of Jesus Christ. I think we had a series of teachings, maybe four, five, six teachings on the birth of Christ. And in light of that, because we did do that, this year I'm not going to take as much time teaching about the birth of Christ. Obviously, we'll spend a little bit of time, but if you would like a more comprehensive understanding of it, you make reference to the Word Speak tapes that are available that we have that would give you the information. We have written literature also on the birth of Christ that would be very helpful to you. In a sense, I'm going to talk about a little bit about the birth of Christ today as we look at the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without God was not anything made that was made." These three verses, if you have any understanding of the Scriptures, these three verses would remind you of other verses that are written in the Scriptures. It would remind you of what's written in Genesis chapter 1. And let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, the very first book of the Bible, the very first things that are said here. So very important. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." The more you contemplate the Scriptures, the more understanding you're going to gain of them. I mean, you can read through things fast, which we often do, but if you stop and meditate and contemplate, why would the Bible begin as it does? Obviously, in the beginning, God, that should be apparent to us. The first thing we need to acknowledge in life is God. In the beginning was God who created the heavens and the earth. And He is the creator of everything that is in existence. There is nothing in existence that God created it. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And then it says what? "The Spirit of God moved." The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. "And God said, 'Let there be light.'" And then there was light. Right in the beginning of the Bible, we see that there is a correlation between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved. And God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light. When the Spirit of God moves, God said, and then there was light. It tells us that the Spirit and the Word, the utterance of God, have a correlation, which we'll look at in more detail. Look at verse 6. And God said, "Let the firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And in verse 9, "And God said, 'Let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear.'" Verse 11, "And God said, 'Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and fruit trees yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed was in itself.'" And verse 14, "And God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament.'" Verse 20, "And God said, 'Let the waters bring forth abundantly.'" You get there's a definite pattern that is seen through here. God spoke creation into existence. What does that say to us? It says to us that the words of God are incredibly powerful. They are incredibly powerful. The words of God, when God speaks His words, they have impact. And what we had read in John was, in the beginning was the Word. What is that saying to us? That in the beginning, when God created all, His Word was with Him. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These are some other verses that are written in Psalm 33, verse 6. It says, "But the Word of the Lord, by the Word of the Lord, were the heavens made." God spoke, and then the heavens were made, and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. This is Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. "He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He laid up the depth in the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake and it was what? Done. He commanded and what? It stood fast. Almighty God spoke and then things came into existence. How big is God and how big is His Word? Proverbs 3:19. Again, we see that from Psalm 33 that the Word was with God in the beginning. Proverbs 3:19, and the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. Again, what we gain from this is wisdom and understanding were also with God in the beginning. The Word was with God in the beginning. Wisdom was with God in the beginning. It says that elsewhere in Proverbs. As was understanding. And Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. In other words, when we have faith, then we begin to understand how the worlds were framed. If you don't have faith, you're never going to understand it. But if you have faith, you'll understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What you see isn't because of what you see that it's here. It's here because of God. God said, God spoke it into existence, and then that was it. Okay? Back to the Gospel of John, please. To me, this, in a very, very dramatic way, emphasizes the power and the awesomeness of Almighty God, that He could speak light into existence. And it also magnifies to me the significance of His Word, which is sitting in your lap. The Word of God, it says according to Hebrews, is living and powerful. Quick and powerful in the King James. But it's living and powerful. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It has impact. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Do me a favor, will you? Stand up for a minute. Just stand up. Oh, never mind. Sit down. Sit down. See how I did that? With my words, I got you to stand up, and with my words, I got you to sit down. Now, some of you didn't do anything because you're not going to have me tell you what to do. And I understand that. Okay? By Vince's words, I got things to happen. But you know what? Vince, now watch this. Here's more of Vince's words. Lights, turn off. Nothing happened. You know what I'm saying? The only time Vince's words have any impact is when I can get willing, loving souls to cooperate with me. But God, when there was darkness, God by His word said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. He spoke it into being. How powerful is the Word of God? And ladies and gentlemen, the words that we are reading today, the words that I'm speaking to you from the Scriptures are the same words of God. This is why what our church is centered on is all about speaking the Word of God. It's all about the Scriptures. It's not about personal testimony. It's not about emotionalism. It's not about a lot of other things. What we focus on is the Word, because we really believe that if a person believes this Word of God, that it is alive and powerful, and it will change your life. And it's the thing that makes known God. You know, the Word. The Word of God makes known the will of God. Now back to John, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I have here a tape player. I want to do something here with you, if I can figure out how to turn it on again. Let me see. I think I push a button. Isn't that the way it usually works? Yeah.
Looking at the consequences of sin. The study is about, it's showing what...
Now, who is that?
...inspired the consequences of sin.
I'm sorry, who is it?
Yes.
It's me? Okay.
Starting with Adam.
Now watch this.
Where we are now, because of what Christ accomplished for us, where life is as a Christian now, and now, what's going
who
to
is
happen
that?
In the future... When the restoration takes place, that is when Christ comes back. So what
that's
we're
me.
Looking at is the past,
this is me,
the present,
and that's
and the
me.
Future. We saw last week...
I'm pretty cool.
As a direct result of...
I can be in two places at once. My word, when I asked you what this was, who was this? You said that was you, because it's my word, right? And then I walked on the other side of the room, and the tape player was still playing, and you heard me. But I was all the way over there. You can even get a tape like this from, you can get into The Word Speaks, and you can get a tape like this, and there's some people all the way in Europe that listen to Vince. All the way over there. And I don't go there, I'm here. But they're listening to me. And is that my word? Yes, it is. Now, unlike God, sometimes my words are not true to me. God's words are always true to Him. Whenever you hear God's words, they're always true. They never falter. There is no dishonesty or impurity in the words of God. He doesn't lie like men. I do lie. I'm a man. He is God, and His words are pure words. So when you hear God's words, you're hearing from God. You're hearing God. And that's why it can say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. This is not a hard concept. I could go upstairs with the three-year-olds and explain this and not have much difficulty. They would understand that the words that someone is speaking is that person, but it really isn't that person. God is certainly a lot bigger than the Bible that sits on your lap. He created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. And once the words left Him, you know, they accomplished their purpose. Was that the end of God? No, because God is much bigger than His Word. But it's very accurate to say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. But it wasn't God also. I mean, you can't be extreme in your understanding of it. But this was my word, but that really wasn't me in the tape player. You know, you might, that's not happening. You might hit me with the tape player, but you ain't going to get me in that tape player. You understand the concept? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with the Word. So the Word is God, but the Word is also separate from God. Verse 4, in Him was life, and was the light of men. In the beginning, when God spoke His Word, it created light, literally physical light. And to this day, metaphorically, when we hear the words of God, it causes light in our hearts and our minds when we listen, we have faith. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Comprehendeth means overpowered it. The darkness didn't comprehend or overpower the light. The light dispelled the darkness. It always does. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John wasn't the light, he just bared witness of the light. Again, the context is talking about God. God was that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, God was in the world, and the world was made by God, but the world knew Him not. And certainly the Old Testament testifies to that. I mean, God was very evident in the world, but the world didn't know Him because they didn't love Him, they didn't honor Him, they didn't worship Him. He came unto His own, talking about Israel, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, or the right, or the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. All the way through, the majority of the world has always rejected God. But there's always been some that have believed. And to those that believe, He gave the privilege and the right to be the sons of God. Verse 13 says, which or who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 12 and verse 13 need to be understood together. For as many as received Him, God, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which or who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believe can be born of God. How? Not by your own will, not by your own doing, not by your own works, but by the miraculous working of God in your life. He can make you to be His son if you will believe Him. You understand? Now verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we're switching and we're talking about the birth of Jesus. Verse 15, John bared witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was not before me, and of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Today, Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. While he was here on earth, he declared God like he had never been declared before. And then he had his apostles to do the same, to speak on his behalf, declaring God. The word declare in the NSAB, or the NASB, is translated explained. It's also in the NIV, it's translated he made known. God had his Son come and to be born, and it says that the Word was made flesh. Jesus was born, and then therefore God's Word became flesh, and as a result of this, God was made known. He was declared like he had never been declared before. Jesus made known the Father greater than he had ever been known before. How did this happen? Jesus always spoke the words of God. He always spoke the words of God. He always did the deeds of God. So when you heard Jesus speak and you saw Jesus act, you saw God. Not because Jesus was God, but because Jesus always spoke God's words and always did God's will. Just as the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word is separate from God, but the Word is God, in like manner it is with Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. You can see in Jesus God's words alive. Let me show you this here. I got this picture this week, and I'll have Colleen and Robert help me here, because they're nice people. The people over there, I wasn't too sure about it. Who is that? It's who? It's Sean and Ruth. This is my son, Sean, my daughter-in-law, Ruth. Ruth just sent me the picture. This is Sean and Ruth, right? Anyone argue with that? Is that Sean and Ruth? Yeah, Sean and Ruth. But it's really not Sean and Ruth, is it? Sean and Ruth are a lot bigger than this. I couldn't hold Sean and Ruth up with one hand. This is an image of Sean and Ruth. It's a picture of Sean and Ruth. It says of Jesus that he is the expressed image of God. Does that make him God? No, it makes him the image of God. This is very important, and just stay with me here. Don't leave in your mind. Just work with me on this here. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was with God in the beginning. In what way? In notion, in the mind of God. Because it specifically says that Jesus was born. Jesus was born. He was given life. So before he was born, he couldn't have been alive, or else he wasn't really born. He was born and he came to life. So if he was with God in the beginning, how was he with God in the beginning? In notion, in his mind, just like this written word of God that we have sitting in our lap today was with God in the beginning, it's with us now. Okay? There's a correlation that we need to understand because it's very vital to our Christian faith. In the beginning was the Word. Was Jesus God? No. But Jesus was with God in his mind, and then he was born. You see, John's teaching last week on simple faith was wonderful. It was a breath of fresh air. It's just so always wonderful to hear about having faith and trust with God. You know, it's one of the things that John said was the reason we can have faith in God is because God has integrity. And integrity means that God always says what he means. He always means what he says. What a wonderful reality. Nobody else is like that. God always says the truth. He always speaks the truth. He always means what he says, and he always says what he means. He always has a purpose for the things that he says, when he says them, where he says them, to whom he says them. God's word is true. Therefore, we can have trust in it. There's integrity to it. You know why the Christian church has such a difficult time reaching out? It's because we don't always have integrity. We're not always truthful with our words. We talk about love, and yet we're very unloving. We talk about caring for people, and a lot of times we're so willing to throw people away. And somebody viewing that from the side says, well, what is this? You see, because our words don't line up with our actions. But that's never so with God. And, you know, doctrinally there's problems. You know, we go to a funeral parlor, and there's someone that's deceased laying there, and then the minister gets up there, or he goes to the cemetery, and he says, well, he's really not dead. He's alive. So the word dead doesn't mean dead. The word dead means alive. There's no integrity to our words. You look up the word dead in the dictionary, you know what it says for a definition? Dead. If you look up the word alive in the dictionary, you look up the definition for the word alive? Alive. Well, they probably use different words to say the same thing. But what Christians say, you know, no, he's not really dead, he's alive. He looks dead to me. I wouldn't be here if he wasn't dead. But, you know, we don't mean what we say. It's the same thing with the birth. We say, well, Jesus was born, we have a holiday, we celebrate it, we're engrossed in it right now. We're celebrating the birth of Christ, but he was really alive before he was born. Words don't mean anything then to Christians. Birth don't mean birth, death don't mean death. Then what do mean what? And you know, people are supposed to have their faith in the integrity and the accuracy of the word. We talk out of both sides of our mouth. We want to have it, we want to be clear, not full of theology, not through full of tradition, but what does the scripture say? And I'll give you a hint. When the scripture says someone is dead, dang blast it, they're dead. And when the scriptures say that someone was born, they were born. I mean, I'll tell you what. If Mary was here, you could ask her whether or not that kid was born. She'd be telling you. There ain't no mother that doesn't, you know, she knows when the kid's born. That's why we get into so much trouble. We have to have integrity. When Jesus was born, yes, Jesus was in the, was Jesus in, with God in the beginning? Yeah, in the mind of God. I mean, if the Word was with God in the beginning, we're talking about Jesus being the Word and the Word was with him in the beginning? Yes. Then it says the Word was God. Then we conclude, therefore, that Jesus is God. Well, in a sense, yes, he is. In a very true sense, yes, Jesus is God. Just as much as the Word of God is God. And is the Word of God God? Absolutely. But the Word of God is separate. Is Jesus God? Absolutely. When you hear Jesus, you're not hearing his own will. You're hearing God. When you see Jesus, you're not seeing his own. You're seeing God. But is Jesus God? No. They have two separate wills. It's two separate beings, even more so than the words. And God is much more so Jesus, because Jesus has his own will. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 3. You know, the Christian church has as its cornerstone, and I'm not taking shots at anybody this morning. I have no malice. That's not my intention. I have no bitterness or anything else. I'm just trying to explain truth here. The Christian church talks a lot about the Trinity. The Trinity as being the cornerstone of Christianity. And I appreciate where we've come to this reasoning, but I also appreciate that the Scripture is my standard for truth. I'm going to believe what the Scriptures say. And the Scriptures don't have the word Trinity in it. It's never used, and yet it's the cornerstone of Christianity. There's no place in the Word of God where Jesus says that he is God. Never once, not once does he say, I am God. He says over and over and over, nigh unto hundreds of times, he says, I am the Son of Man. He says, I'm the Son of God. Often, the most popular way that he defined himself was, he said, I am the Son of Man. Now, what does that mean? I'm a son of man, too. You are, too. There ain't nobody here that ain't the Son of Man. What's that saying to me? He's a human. He was born. He had his own will, which he decided to put to the side and to do God's will. Look, let's look at the Scriptures, what they say. John chapter 3, verse 32. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified, that no man receiveth the testimony. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent talking, Jesus speaking here, he whom God hath sent, speaking about himself, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things unto him. God sent the Son and he gave him the Spirit, and then the Son spoke the words. There's this correlation again between Spirit and speaking the words. Jesus had the Spirit in full measure and he spoke God's words. Look at chapter 4, verse 34. He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. The things that Jesus said were God's words. Again, the correlation between the Spirit and the Word. John 4, 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work, my meat. The thing that, you know, this is my substance. This is what I get off on. This is what I'm about. My meat. This is me. This is what I'm about, Jesus saying. This is my meat. To do what? To do the will of him that sent me. He didn't say, to do my own will. To do the will of him that sent me. God sent him, and he did God's will. And to finish his work. Jesus didn't do his own work. He did the work of God. Look at John chapter 5. This is perhaps the clearest place in the book of John where Jesus explains who he is and his relationship to God. And he got in trouble with the Pharisees over it. In John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, or 5:17, I guess. And Jesus answered them, said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Talking about two, my Father and I. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was what? His Father. God is my Father. Making himself equal with God. That word equal is the word isos. It's also translated agree and like. Making himself like God, or in agreement with God, or equal with God. God is my Father, he says. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus said, look, what you see me doing, I'm not the originator of this. I'm doing what God told me to do. You know, when Jesus, it isn't difficult. Jesus walked on water. Why did he walk on water? Because God wanted him to walk on water. God enabled him to walk on water. Why did Jesus heal the blind guy? Because God wanted him to heal the blind guy. It showed the world that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. It distinguished him for who he was. It didn't show the world that he was God. What would it be for God to walk on water? Nothing. God created water. God put everything that's in water in water. I mean, all the fishies and everything else. God created, he separated the waters from the waters and created the expanse. So what's the big deal with walking on water? No big deal. But for a man to do it, hey, that guy must be the Messiah. He must be, you know, the man that was told that would come. See, he did the works of God. The Son can do nothing of himself. There's a little humility there. But what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also the Son likewise. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which he hath sent. The Father sent the Son. He says, if you honor me, then you're honoring my Father. It's the same thing with, if you honor my son Michael, or you honor my son David, or my son Sean, you're honoring me. If you dishonor them, then you're dishonoring me. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He is what? The Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all they that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Unless you're not reading, and unless you're not thinking honestly with the thing, I don't see how it can be misunderstood. God is the Father. He sent His Son. Jesus is talking about two separate people, two separate beings, God and Himself. Two separate wills. He's talking about suppressing His own will. This was the greatness of the thing in the garden. What would it have been for God to pray? Why would God be praying to God in the garden to do His own will? Not my will be done, but thine. We're not talking about making sense. We're talking about schizophrenia. If you have them to be the same. You can't have them to be the same. They are separate. Was Jesus the same as God? Yes! He always did His will. He always spoke His word. Was Jesus separate from God? Yes! I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. I love how He's constantly giving credit to God. You know, I learned from a man named Dr. Wuerl, I learned that the Word of God was the will of God. He taught me when I was a very young man, you know, when I was 21 years old, first time I ever considered that the Bible was the Word of God. He pounded that in my head. The Word of God is the will of God. The Word of God is the will. And he taught me that love was the most important thing in life. And he taught me to have faith. Well, you know, he always talked about who taught him. The guys that taught him, he used to talk about B.J. Leonard, and he used to talk about Style, I forget his initials, some other guys. And then those guys had teachers that taught them. And those guys that taught them, who taught them, had teachers that taught them. But you know where the truth emanated from? God. God. It all begins with God. And you know, I appreciate, you know, I think it's nice to acknowledge who teaches you something. It's nice to say, you know, Dr. Wuerl taught me this, and it was nice of Dr. Wuerl to say that B.G. Leonard taught me this, and Stiles taught me that. I think that's wonderful. But you know what I think is really wonderful? Is exalting God. Because all truth emanates from God. He's the one that it emanates. It doesn't matter what man says it. It doesn't matter who taught me. It matters that what I understand is truth. Truth emanates from God. There's no man inventing truth. If any man is speaking truth, it would be his speaking the words of God. If he proclaims to be speaking truth and it isn't the words of God, he's a liar. It's just that simple. All truth comes from God. And so Jesus always said, look, I'm not saying this. This isn't me. The words that I'm speaking to you, they're God's words. You see this stuff I'm doing? It isn't me doing it. It's God doing it. Jesus made sure God got the glory. He didn't give the glory to Himself. And we as a church should not do that either. We should give God glory. This is what our Lord died for. This is what He lived for. Should we praise our Lord? Should we worship Jesus and all? Absolutely. What are you kidding me? He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our High Priest. He's the King to come. But He's not God. He's the Son of God. And you know, He knew that. We shouldn't get it confused either. You know, he was born, laid in a manger. God? This woman gave birth to God? This is why the Roman Catholic Church thinks that Mary, this is what they, and again, I'm not taking no shots at anybody. I'm just explaining what is a fact. Turn on the TV, turn on the channel, that's the Catholic channel. Listen to how they pray. They pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins now and at the hour of our death. That is a totally unbiblical prayer. First of all, the woman's dead. So she ain't praying for you now or at the end. She's dead. When the resurrection happens, she'll get up and then we can all pray together. But I can understand the logic. If Jesus is God, then Mary's His mother, then Mary's the mother of God. And I also understand this logic. Well, if Mary's the mother of God, then don't pray to Jesus or God. Pray to the mother. If you want something done, pray to the mother. There ain't nothing new about that. I understand that logic. You want something done in my house? You talk to Mimi. Don't talk to me. I'm too lazy. I'm watching, you know. I understand the logic here. If Mary gave birth to God, then Mary's the mother of God. Well, let's pray to Mary. The only problem with this reasoning is it's totally unbiblical. It's got nothing to do with Scripture because God wasn't born. How could God be born? Jesus was born. And I, you know, this isn't a belittling of Jesus. This is an exaltation of Jesus. Can you imagine a human being who always, always, always suppressed his will to do the will of the Father? Who always did God's will? Who was tempted in like passion like you are and yet without sin? Who was tempted to do the same exact things that you have done over and over and over and over again and never once did them? What a man! Woo, what a Savior! You know, you and I, it just wiggles by us and woo, okay. Not Jesus, he stands away. Well, that hit home. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38. For I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that all they which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise them up again in the last day. And again, he was in heaven. He came down from heaven. So he must have been alive before he was alive. No, he was in heaven just like in the sense that we've explained here. The Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was God in the notion of God. It was in the mind of God. He came from God. He's not saying that he was hanging around with God. He comes from God. He's sent from God. And look what he does. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. 7:16. Chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. He's constantly giving God the glory. Verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know. He talks constantly in the Gospel of John about being sent. He was sent. God sent him. Look at chapter 8. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these words. Oh, what a glory. He always did God's will. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Look at verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Look at chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, talking about his life, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Father gave him this. Verse 25. Jesus said unto them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, that he was who he said he was. Verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Chapter 12, verse 44. Chapter 12. 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth on. Jesus said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that what? Sent me. It's so simple. It's so wonderful. Verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speaketh therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. Chapter 14, verse 10. I love this. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the work, the works. So the words and the works were God's. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for very works' sake. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, even as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, and let us go hence. And then chapter 17. We'll be back to this 14. Chapter 17. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on earth, praying to God. I have finished the work. Jesus is praying to his Father. I glorify thee on work. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 4. 7. Now they that have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And the reason they knew that is because he constantly told them. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest to me, that they have received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them for it. Go back to chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 10 again, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Verse 24, he that loveth me and keepeth my sayings, the word that which ye heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Gosh, there's so many things I want to say about this section here. I'll just say it in a synoptic type of way. First of all, this section talks, chapter 14, 15, and 16, it talks often about Jesus and God being one. He says, God is in me, and I am in him, and we are one together. How am I supposed to understand that oneness? He always did the Father's will. He always spoke the Father's word. He was sent by God and did everything that God wanted done. It is said elsewhere in the Scripture that the body of Christ is one. It is said in the Scripture that a husband and a wife are one. My wife and I, we were two and we became one. We now have one life together. We've had one for 30 years. Tom has had one for what, 19 years today. Right? One life together. We live together. Every time I move, she moves. You know, every time she moves, I move. Not, you know, house that is, you know. And you know, we have one life together. Is my wife me? No. Are we one? Yes. In the same sense that Jesus is God, what Jesus and God is, they're one in will, because Jesus is willing to surrender his will to the will of God. And it goes on in the same section, and then it goes on to explain, Jesus said, I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me. And the Father's going to be in me, and I'm going to be in you, and you're going to be in me, and we're all going to be one together. And that doesn't make any of us God. You understand? That oneness doesn't make us God. That oneness is if we're obedient to his will, then we're going to be one with him. And then the great thing I wanted to point to you and close with is verse 11. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these. And the context of this is our receiving the Spirit. In the beginning in Genesis, we saw that when the Spirit was moved, then the words were spoken. We see that Jesus always spoke the words of God because he had the full measure of the Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and the definition of what the Holy Spirit does is given to us in this section here. What does it do? It teaches us the words of Christ. It brings to our remembrance. It teaches us the whole truth. It teaches us the Word. The Spirit gives us the opportunity to know the Word. Again, the Spirit and the Word, the correlation between the two. Jesus said, "The works that I do, you shall do also and greater, because I go unto my Father." This isn't, you know, a lot of people think that means healing people and miracles and all the rest. The great work of Jesus, in the context, the great work of Jesus is he always did the will of God. He always did the work of God. We, because we now have the Spirit, are equipped to live that way. We can always do the will of God. We can always do the work of God. And sometimes that might include miracles. And sometimes that might include healings. But much, much more important, it's daily living. Rather than doing your will and succumbing to it, you can put it aside because you now have the enablement of the Spirit within you, the Spirit of Christ in you, to live like He lived. So that we can do the works that He did and that we can always do the Father's will. And if you do that, it doesn't make you God. It makes you one with God. And it makes you an image of God also. When people see you speaking the words of God and living the words of God, you will speak God to them. And that will not make you God. It'll make you God-like, but it won't make you God. It'll make you godly, but it won't make you God. You understand? Jesus was born. He's the Word in the flesh. He's a man.